I'm Sally Helm with the podcast History This Week. In each episode, we serve as your eyes and ears into history's biggest events, major elections, world wars, scientific breakthroughs. But we also bring you into the smaller, behind-the-scenes stories, the unsung heroes, secret meetings, even personal grudges that changed the course of history. Listen to and follow History This Week, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with the History Channel. Available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's a college football fight song Friday, so since Justin Buechler is going to be here, joins us now, Associate Professor of Political Science at Case Western Reserve University. Professor, we thought we'd start out with Fight On from the Case Western Reserve University band. How about that?
All right. Well, there's a political fight on right now, so that's the appropriate song, I guess.
There you go. Let's talk about the political fight that's happening. Anything new?
Pretty much polls. I mean, we're watching the polls, and we're watching for any movement in the polls, and it's tight. This is basically the closest presidential election since 2000, and that's sort of where it stands.
So I remember when I first started doing this years and years and years ago, I remember talking to people about presidential campaigns and how important it was, even with all the national advertising and everything else, to actually get people on a bus, get them to vote, give them rides to the polls, et cetera. Is that where we are at this point?
That's a big part of it. And the important thing to understand about that aspect of the campaign is that because both sides are doing it in any given campaign, it's sort of like a tug of war, and each side's efforts sort of cancel each other out to some degree. But both campaigns have to do it, because if one side gives up, that gives the other side the advantage. But they're kind of canceling each other out in terms of those kinds of campaign efforts. And it sort of reverts to the underlying fundamentals, which are still pretty close at the national level.
And those underlying fundamentals are the party loyalty or personality or what?
So party loyalty is a big part of it. I mean, remember that this is kind of a 50-50 country. We have the country relatively evenly split between Democrats and Republicans. We have an economy which is kind of complicated because we have positive GDP growth, but we also have some economic pessimism. We also have this weird situation where we have an outgoing Democratic president whose popularity numbers are not very good. And we have all of those factors feeding into a situation which is just fundamentally very close.
Can you remember, and I'm probably am answering my own question here, but you got a former president running against an incumbent vice president where the incumbent president chose not to run. This is new territory.
Well, it's new territory in some sense. I mean, any one aspect of this particular campaign has at least some precedent. We've seen a former president run before, although it's been a really long time since that's happened. We have seen a president step down and have the vice president step in. I mean, 1968 has some parallels in this particular campaign. So we've seen some elements. It's just that basically every weird aspect of a presidential campaign is sort of combined into 2024. So, for example, in 1968, we had Lyndon Johnson step down. Then the Democrats nominated Hubert Humphrey after the campaign played out. Eugene McCarthy won the primaries. The primaries didn't really matter, so we had that complicated business in 1968 where the Democrats nominated the vice president. We had a former vice president who had run for office, who had run for the presidency in 1968 or 1960 and then lost. So, I mean, we've had these elements before. It's just that everything all at once is sort of playing out together in 2024.
I see so many things on social media. You know, one of them was, attacking the Trump campaign for criticizing Kamala Harris as vice president and what she got accomplished, asking what did Mike Pence get accomplished during his 4 years as vice president. And I don't care if you're a Democrat or a Republican. One thing that confuses me about this is that And in a way, I guess it's smart by former President Trump to attach Kamala Harris to the Biden presidency when, in fact, the vice president doesn't have a whole lot to do with policy, or do they?
Mostly vice presidents do very little. The only time that the vice president does anything is if the president delegates tasks. So, for example, during the George W. Bush administration, George W. Bush delegated several tasks to Dick Cheney. But mostly vice presidents do very little unless powers are delegated specifically to the vice president. Kamala Harris has not had a lot of tasks delegated to her. There is the question of exactly how much authority was delegated to her regarding the border. But generally speaking, vice presidents don't do much.
So I guess I'm wondering how you can say that Kamala Harris, I'm not campaigning for, I'm not campaigning against anybody, but it seems like the argument would collapse on itself if you say that nobody knows who she is, but yet she hasn't accomplished anything, because if she was in control of the White House or running policy, we would have known. She wouldn't be unknown, right?
Yeah, well, I mean, in some sense, it's a little unfair because she hasn't really been in charge of much of anything for the last 4 years. But at the same time, she has been a part of the Biden administration, and the differences between her positions and the Biden positions are relatively minimal. So the basic thing to understand is that presidents and presidential candidates, they're all part of a party, and the parties are relatively unified. So if you're looking for a heuristic to understand a presidential candidate, party is a pretty good heuristic. So if you understand the outgoing president, you pretty well understand the sitting vice president.
Right, let me take a break. We'll pick it up. We come back. We're talking to Justin Buechler, our friend, associate professor of political science at Case Western Reserve University.
I'm Sally Helm with the podcast History This Week. In each episode, we serve as your eyes and ears into history's biggest events and the lesser told stories, ones you might not even know happened. Find History This Week on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
2 weeks until election, early voting underway here in Louisiana as well. And we encourage you to vote early if you can. If not, make sure you vote on Election Day. We'll talk about the congressional races as well when we come back, which is an extremely important part of this. The entire House of Representatives, a third of the Senate up, as is the case every 2 years. And I don't know that that's getting a lot of attention, but it's going to have a lot to do with the way the government operates in the next 4 years. 620 traffic now, WWL. 626, Tommy Tucker, WWL, back with Justin Buechler, associate professor of political science at Case Western Reserve University. I'm just laughing at some of the texts that are coming in. People taking this race very personally, Professor.
That's true. This is a very polarized country. People have some pretty strong feelings about both parties, both candidates. And this is a pretty intense race.
Campaigns are different than governing, though, and the government is not just comprised of the Oval Office. Of course, they got Capitol Hill and the Senate and the House. What are the races around the country looking like? And I know you guys got a big one going on there in Ohio. Tell me about that, and also about the likelihood of either the Senate or the House flipping.
So, here in Ohio, we have a very close Senate race. Sherrod Brown is a relatively far left incumbent senator in a state that has been shifting more towards the Republican Party. So this is a pretty tight race. Generally speaking, incumbents win. But given that Ohio has been shifting more towards the Republicans, this is a pretty tight race. And the polls are very close right now. So I'm looking at the polling average right now. Real Clear Politics has Brown up by an average of just 1 point, which is razor thin. And if you're looking at the Senate overall, the map this year is very favorable to the Republicans. So if you remember how Senate elections work, only a third of the Senate is up in any given election cycle, which means that just random chance can favor one party or the other, depending on which seats are up. And this year, the map is very favorable to the Republicans. So Sherrod Brown is up, and just the general map leans very heavily towards the Republicans.
That's in Ohio.
I'm talking about the overall map.
Oh, okay.
Ohio, right now it looks like Ohio is basically a toss-up. We have no idea what's going to happen in Ohio. Ohio is a toss-up. But the Senate overall, because of the particular array of seats that are up, it probably goes Republican. So if you just sort of add up all of the seats that are either not up at all or that are leaning Republican, Republicans probably get to 51, just not even counting who is vice president and then might cast a tie-breaking vote. Republicans probably get to 51. So, for example, John Tester in Montana is probably going to lose, so that seat flips. So if you look at all of the seats that Republicans can hold and then they flip John Tester's seat in Montana, they probably get to 51. The House is a little bit different because what usually happens with the House of Representatives in a presidential election is whichever party wins the White House will tend to pick up seats in the House of Representatives. And in the House of Representatives right now, it is a razor-thin margin. The Republicans just have the barest majority possible. So if the Democrats win the White House, Kamala Harris wins, then the Democrats pick up seats. And if they pick up any seats, then the House of Representatives will flip. If Donald Trump wins, then the Republicans maintain a majority in the House of Representatives in all likelihood.
Go ahead. No, go ahead, please.
Yeah, so basically, if Harris wins, the likeliest outcome is Harris, a Democratic majority in the House and Republican Senate. If Trump wins, then it's probably unified Republican government.
Does anybody have coattails either way?
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about, is the House is where you're probably going to see coattails. So if whichever party wins the White House, the coattails will give that party the House of Representatives. That's what I mean.
That's what I thought you were trying to say. I just wanted to clear it up. Thank you, sir. Professor, appreciate your time. Justin Buechler, Associate Professor of Political Science, Case Western Reserve University. 6:30, time for WWL First News.
I'm Sally Helm with the podcast History This Week. In each episode, we serve as your eyes and ears into history's biggest events and the lesser told stories, ones you might not even know happened. Find History This Week on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.